Grace, mercy, and peace are yours through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Savior. Amen. As I mentioned, the portion of God's Word that we want to focus on this morning is that gospel lesson for today. John chapter 10, verses 22 to 30. I won't read them again, but we'll refer to them throughout the sermon. In Christ Jesus, our good shepherd, shall are redeemed. That description or illustration of Jesus as the good shepherd is one of those that is certainly very endearing, comforting, inspiring, and encouraging for us as believers. That psalm that we sang, Psalm 23, one of the most memorized and familiar of the psalms, frequently referred to, and sometimes even ones that people can recite word for word, all six verses. And then, of course, there's those pictures and paintings, one of which I have here for you this morning. Did you see it? Yeah. You remember that one?
Yeah.
I had that one up a couple of years ago. I got that from a gentleman in the congregation in Huron who had gotten them from, I think, some museum or some such. I forget exactly what all the story was, but that's all made out of wood pieces. That's not a painting. It's actually, what do they call that, parquet? Or whatever the term is for using little chips of wood to make a design. And you've probably seen that in paintings or pictures as well. Jesus the Good Shepherd, right, among the sheep, gathered all around his legs, his feet. And then probably one being carried in the arm of Jesus, a staff in his hand. That beautiful picture of Jesus the Good Shepherd. Why is that so appealing? Why is that so familiar and one that we grasp onto so readily? I think if nothing else, it's simply because it's so easy to understand. And it fits so perfectly with who Jesus is as our Savior, right? The one that we can come to, the one we can rely on, the one who certainly is the source of our comfort, our security, our confidence for the future as well. And it doesn't matter who you are. I think you get the picture. You understand that illustration of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And one of the reasons why we have this special deal on the fourth Sunday of Easter, where we focus on Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is because that's so essential for our salvation. Because we know that Jesus not only suffered and died for us, but he rose again. And he himself explains that's the reason why he is called the Good Shepherd. Actually, if you study the Greek, Jesus doesn't say just that he's the Good Shepherd. He is the most excellent shepherd. And the reason is because not only did he lay down his life, something that other shepherds obviously could do, but it wouldn't benefit the sheep any, would it? If you're a sheep, and you're out in the wilderness, in the pasture, and there's enemies, there's wolves around, and your shepherd goes to protect you and he dies, you're in big trouble. Because now the wolves can come in and slaughter the sheep. But Jesus didn't stay dead. That's what Easter is all about. He rose again. That's what makes him the most excellent shepherd. But instead of focusing our attention on Jesus, the Good Shepherd, this morning, we're going to focus on the blessedness of being one of Jesus' sheep. That we are, in fact, safe in his arms, just like the picture shows. In the first 18 verses of John chapter 10, if you have a chance, again, take a look at those verses when you get home. First 18 verses, Jesus uses that to set the stage for him as the Good Shepherd. And he had done that shortly after, in fact, immediately after, he had performed a miracle of healing a man who was born blind. And the Jews, for the most part, there in Jerusalem, had understood this man was indeed blind, blind from birth. He had a reputation, obviously. But then suddenly he's able to see. And he attributes the miracle to some man that he didn't know who it was. And so they were curious. They were wondering. They analyzed it. They investigated it. They tried to establish how this could possibly be. And then we're told in our text, then came the Feast of Dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. 2 months later, after that miracle of healing the man who was born blind, Jesus comes again to the temple areas, and then we're told the Jews gathered around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Wait a minute. Don't you remember what happened? Don't you remember investigating it yourself and coming to the conclusion that, yes, this man who healed the one born blind has to be at least someone who, you know, has some special power from God? Or, wonder of wonders, could he be really the Son of God? The promised one that God had said he would send, the Messiah? It should be obvious. But they ask, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. All the evidence was there. How could they miss that obvious conclusion? Jesus has the answer. He says, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. What a stunning answer and rebuke, a reply to these Jews. Certainly they have plenty of evidence to see that Jesus is that powerful Son of God sent from heaven to be the Messiah as God had promised. But they rejected him. They didn't want anything to do with him. True sheep are ones who delight in hearing their shepherd's voice. I'm not a farmer, and I'm certainly not a sheep herder. I don't know much at all about sheep, except for what I've read about them. Maybe you've come across this too. Apparently, sheep are one kind of an animal that even though they have nothing else going for them, they're pretty much defenseless. They can't fend for themselves. They don't know how to find food for themselves. They're not really good for much of anything except their wool. Well, and to eat the meat. But they do have this one qualifying and special feature, and that is that they will follow the one that they trust. And that's the shepherd. You can't necessarily drive sheep, but you can lead them. And the sheep recognize their own shepherd's voice. That's one of the things that I have talked about in sermons on this Good Shepherd section of John's Gospel before. When he says, I'm the Good Shepherd, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. They hear my voice and follow me and so on. That's the thing about sheep. They listen to their shepherd's voice. And even if they're in a whole group of other sheep, the ones who belong to that shepherd will follow that shepherd's voice, and they will come out of the enclosure where they've been. And yet these men, these people of Jerusalem, weren't interested in listening to the Good Shepherd's voice. They rejected him. They wanted to listen to someone else. They wanted to go their own way. On Sunday last week, I don't know if you watch America's Funniest Videos, kind of a cute little segment was on where there were two kids who were sitting next to a prairie dog hole, and they were trying to coax the prairie dog out with peanuts so they could feed it, and they were kind of anxious, you know, and excited, and the mother, you can hear her in the background saying, oh, you know, just sit down and wait quietly and hold the peanut out, they'll come, you know, right? So the little prairie dog kind of coaxes its way out of the hole that he's about to take the peanut from the one kid that's sitting on the right, and then he darts to the left, and he grabs the bag of peanuts and runs off and goes into another hole and disappears. That's not what sheep are like. Sheep know the voice of their shepherd and they follow him. That's the thing that Jesus wants to emphasize about true sheep with the good shepherd. They listen to his voice. They follow his will and word. They trust him and they follow him like sheep to a shepherd. And that's the thing that we need to take to heart and mind as well today. Listen to that voice of your shepherd. Make it a number one priority for you. That's the reason why you came here today, was to hear your shepherd's voice. But it can't be just once in a while. It's in fact a lifetime of following. The Good Shepherd calls his believers to all the spiritual activity that becomes visible, engaging regularly and wholeheartedly in public worship, participating actively in all the work necessary to carry on the preaching and teaching of the word in the local congregation and in the church at large, gladly and generously supplying the financial means for the gospel work, personally witnessing to the Savior, being faithful, loving fathers and mothers, children who aim to please their Savior with a loving obedience to parents, proving to be good, loyal citizens, leading sexually pure lives, loving husband or wife as Christ loved the church, showing themselves honest and upright, compassionate and loving toward their fellow human beings, exhibiting themselves to be content with the material wealth God has allotted them because God has already endowed them with the treasures of heaven. A good summary that as a sheep, it's a full-time responsibility that we follow our shepherd wherever he leads, including this. Sheep by nature trustingly follow their shepherd even when he has to lead them over rough terrain and through dark valleys. Jesus' sheep likewise do not give up their trust in him when he chooses to lead them through the rough, dark places in life. Remember Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They are confident that all unpleasant, painful experiences are also his holy chastisements. They follow him in the spirit of his own words, not as I will, but as you will, your will be done. And isn't that what the Apostle Paul assures us of as well when he says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him? In verse 32 of Romans 8, he said, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount made this point as well. He talks about worry. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Because Jesus is my good shepherd. I know he carefully and lovingly watches over and provides for me. He loves me. He cares for me. He knows everything about me. And He even did this. He lived and died and rose again for me. That's what makes Him the most excellent shepherd. And is the very reason why then I want to listen to Him. I want to follow Him. As the Apostle Paul also says in his letter to the Corinthians, when he reminds us of the fact that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again, Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Because as sheep of the Good Shepherd, we are also safe in His arms. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." See, that's the thing about a shepherd as well. He's one who has to know the needs of the sheep. He will handle each one of them at the end of the day to pick out any briars or thorns that have maybe gotten in their wool. He soothes their tender skin by rubbing oil or lotion on them. He makes sure that they have plenty of food and water. He takes care of them, protects them, and leads them where they need to go. He's always watching out for them, as Jesus is always watching out for us as well. That's what makes Him the most excellent shepherd. He knows our every need and well supplies them. And He also makes sure that not only does He take care of the things that we need for our lives day to day, but He also gives them, as He says, eternal life. And they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Usually when we hear that terminology, He gives us eternal life, we think immediately of heaven. But remember, we have eternal life even now. Life that is safe and secure in the hands of the Good Shepherd. Eternal life doesn't mean just heaven, but it refers to His blessing and His favor even now. Something that He won for us at the greatest cost. Because He laid down His life for the sheep. And it gives us the greatest benefit. Because now we belong to Him. We're His sheep. And He watches over and takes care of us day by day. And it wasn't just with, you know, gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood. And His innocent sufferings and death that He bought and paid for us and made us His own. That's why then we can rest secure. Because we know we're safe from the wolves and the enemies. Because Jesus has crushed and conquered them by His sufferings and death and His mighty resurrection from the dead. As Jesus also tells us, we as His sheep shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. He protects us also from that eternal death and destruction, that damnation that set against us because of our many sins, because He has washed all them away in His holy precious blood. And, as Jesus goes on, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Talk about protection. Not only the shepherd is guarding and keeping us, but even His heavenly Father, our heavenly Father, is watching over and taking care of us as well. No one else can match our good, our most excellent Savior and Shepherd. Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, only He can say these things and claim us for Himself because He has bought and paid for us and has promised He will also deliver us finally for eternity. That's why we want to listen to Him. That's why we hear His word, trust in Him, believe and rely on Him, so that we can always rest secure, so that we can always go to Him with the kind of confidence and certainty that sheep have for their shepherd. Comfort and confidence, because Jesus is our most excellent shepherd and Savior. Rest in Him, dear sheep. Amen. Now may that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus the Good Shepherd. Amen. Take your hymnal now, and the We Praise You, the Te Deum, is on page 210. We'll join to sing that.